If you ain't, I encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He's the only way you can be bound for the promised land. This morning I'd like to be in Acts. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start in about verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go unto the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." If you're expecting some other kind of preaching this morning, that's not what you're going to get. Because I'm going to do just like Philip, and I'm going to preach to you Jesus. Because that's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I know. In fact, let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, because this is where he was preaching at. This is where he picked up the scripture at. This is where the eunuch, now listen, he had went to Jerusalem to worship, which means he was either a proselyte or he was a Jew from some of the scatterings that took place. And he came back doing what he was supposed to do every year, at least once or twice or three times a year. He had went there to worship God. He said, that's great, ain't it? Yes. But God says you must believe in the Son to be saved. God says you must have faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. So the eunuch is sitting here reading Isaiah, and he's reading out loud. Notice that. How many times we ride down the road reading the book out loud? How many times would people walking by us hear us preaching or saying the Word of God physically with our mouths, where people can actually hear what we're doing? This eunuch was riding in his chariot on his way back from worshiping. He's in Isaiah. He's reading out loud, because Philip says he heard him reading. He knew where he was at because he could hear him. He didn't mentalize it or figure it up. He heard him actually reading. And Philip knew enough about the Bible to know where he was reading that, so he could know how to preach it. He knew enough about the Bible from off over here. He heard him reading it. And when he climbed into the chariot, he knew right where to start and what to preach. That's a short getting ready sermon right there. God says, I want you to go over here. I want you to meet this man, and I want you to tell him something. In just a few seconds, he had to hear where he was reading from and have his sermon ready. He had to have his witness ready, just like that. So that means we need to be studying our Bibles. We need to be in our Bibles. But let's get to the sermon. It says here, Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, and of the transgressors of thy people was he stricken. So we see here, he knew where this scripture was. He knew what this scripture said. He says back here, he says, understandest not what you're reading? We're back in Acts now. Understandest not what you're reading? Well, let's start there. It says in 26, and the angel of the Lord sitting there, and he found the eunuch. He was a great man. He was a man of power. He had a man of authority. He was a man who was given responsibility by Candace the queen. And he was going from Jerusalem to worship, and he returned, and he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah. Now, I guess if I had me a couple of horses that knew the way home, I could just sit there and read, but I'm sure he had a chariot driver because this man had great authority. In fact, this man probably had a whole army of guys behind him with swords and spears and everything because he was an authority and he was over the treasury. So he didn't just go to Jerusalem by himself in no wagon. He had a group of folks with him. We find a lot of people have a group of folks with them, but sometimes only one out of that group gets saved. You imagine that? How that works, I don't know. And he was sitting in his wagon. Then the Spirit said unto Philip. Who's the Spirit? God. We just discussed that. God, the Spirit, is God. God is God. The Son is God. And the Spirit is God. And the Spirit said to Philip. You know where that Spirit was? It's inside of Philip. When he got saved, the Spirit came into him. And it says here, and the Spirit said unto Philip. And Philip ran and go attach thyself to the chariot. That would tell me that we need to be listening for the Spirit. You never know when the Spirit might say, go attach yourself to that chariot. Or go attach yourself to that door over there. Or go attach yourself to that house over yonder. Or go attach yourself to that person in Walmart down on the corner there. We never know. We need to be listening. We need to be tender to hear the Word of God when God speaks to us. And I'm not talking about some verbal voice that you're going to hear from outer space. I'm talking about when God urges you to do something, say something, be a comfort to somebody, be listening and tender to the Spirit. And undoubtedly, Philip was very good at that because he says, go attach thyself to that chariot. And Philip ran. How many times have you run to somebody to tell them about Jesus? I can only remember, not very many. I was about to say, I've done that once. But not really. I didn't run. I meekly crawled up there hoping I wouldn't get in trouble. Say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Philip ran thither to him. Now this is a man in a train of people with probably swords, spears, and everything else. Philip's out there in the middle of the desert, and he's going to run up this guy. You can imagine that they're all looking at, who in the world is this guy that he is? And he ran up to this guy, and he heard him reading. I just caught that this morning. I said, he perceived he was reading, or he knew, or he just saw the scroll in his hand, but he actually heard him reading the sermon. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Undoubtedly, it's true. He heard him reading the Scripture, and he said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, I understand that you can get a mental concept of what the Bible's saying, but the Spirit has to move on you, open your eyes up. But it says here that we are sent to preach the gospel that they might hear and that they might see and that they might understand. So this man is reading this thing, but he really needs a preacher. Have you ever thought about the time God sends a preacher? If you read Romans, he says, and whom shall I send? and stuff like that. He sent a preacher to this man. This man needed to be saved. This man's out in the middle of the desert, reading the Bible, clueless to who he's talking about, and without a preacher, he'll continue to read that Bible and continue to go down the road lost. God sent him a preacher. God sent him Philip. God sent him Philip to expound on him what the words of the Bible said in Isaiah. And he says, how can I accept some man should guide me? That's our jobs. We're the guiders. We're the ones who are saved. We're the ones who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're the ones who are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We're the ones who read and study our Bible. We're the ones who are supposed to know how to tell somebody else what the Bible means. We're not supposed to, we don't convert them. We tell them what the Bible says. How can I accept some man guide me? Guide me. That means to teach, to lead, to tutor along. How can I accept some man guide me? And then he says, and he desired. This man was looking for something. This man was looking for the truth. This man wasn't just saying, I'm reading Isaiah, daily stuff, you know. But when somebody came along that might be able to explain it to him, he desired to know more. He was after something more. He was looking for God. So I say, if you're seeking God, you'll find God. Now, how's that work? Well, God undoubtedly is doing something in the background. But it says, he desired him. He says, oh, get away from me. Look, you're going back where you came from. There wasn't no argument like that whatsoever. He desired him to climb up into the chariot. And he says, I desired him that he would come up and sit with him. These two guys are sitting in this chariot, and they're reading Isaiah, and the place of the scripture which we just read, and he read that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Now, if we remember anything about Matthew and in Mark and those places, when Jesus was at the trial, when Jesus was being accused of being all kind of traitor and everything else that was done to him, he did not open his mouth about any of the ones who had an accusation against him. The only time he ever spoke is when Pilate says, well, art thou the king? And he says, thou sayest. And then when Caiaphas was going to run out of people to talk about, he says, well, are you the Son of God? And he says, thou sayest. In other words, he didn't argue with, well, I don't deserve to be here. I shouldn't be in this place. Y'all should be bowing down, worshiping me. He went to that trial because he took my place. He was guilty in my place at that trial. He did not speak a word because he knew at that trial he was guilty. He had no covering. He had no protection. He had nobody to stand in his place because he was standing in my place. If you're a believer, he was standing in your place. He was there guilty, so there was no reason to say, well, I can call down this and I can do that and I can bring up all kind of witnesses against you. I can show you who you guys are. Instead, he went there as guilty. He stood there in three different trials, three different things that they put him before, and he never tried to get out of the thing. Not one time did he say, well, if I tell them all this, I can get out of this. Or if I just agree with them, I can go free. He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the only way that any one of us could go to heaven is he had to be guilty of my sin. Not that he did sin. Not that he ever sinned. But he took my sin. He took your sin. He put them on that cross and he paid for them in full. Says in his humiliation, his judgment was taken from him. In other words, they were looking for an earthly king. And they killed him. Because he wasn't wanting to be. He is the heavenly king. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. They were his humiliation. His judgment was taken from him. And who shall declare his generations? For his life was taken from the earth. We're talking about Jesus Christ who died on that cross. We're talking about the one who paid the sin debt of all who would believe in him. And then Philip opened his mouth. He had already heard the eunuch. He heard the eunuch reading the scriptures. He heard the eunuch saying everything about what was going on in Isaiah. And then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the scriptures and he preached unto him Jesus. That's the only thing I can preach. If there's anything for me to preach, it's to preach Jesus. is to preach that He was perfect and that He was holy and that He was righteous and He was the Son of God. And all these things that said in Isaiah about how He was miserably treated and how He was a man of sorrows and how that He was not anybody to be desired. All those things were true, and that's what we preach. He didn't come here as a king in some holy roly regalia, how do you say that word, as driving his Rolls Royces and stuff like that down the road for everybody to blow the bugles at and look at. He came here lowly. He came here meek. He came here born of a virgin in a stall. He came here for those who would believe in Him would have eternal life. He didn't come here trying to take over the world. The first time, now He will take over the world, and He's going to take over the world, don't He? But at this time, first time He came here to take my chastisement, to be my peace, to take my suffering, to take all the things that I have ever done wrong and you've ever done wrong, and they put them on Him. And not one time did He try to shove that burden off. Not one time did He try to get away from that thing, but He Himself carried it totally to the cross because it pleased the Father. Then it says here, Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him, Jesus. He says, this man who was despised, this man who was miserably treated, this man who had to go to the cross, this man that died was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached to him Jesus the whole time. And then it says, we're going to move on. We've got a lot of stuff to get done today. Maybe we got all day. And then he said, and as they went on their way, now they're still riding. That means they ain't driving the chariot. They riding in the chariot. They got somebody else driving. So as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, it looks like he said, the eunuch understood there needed to be enough water to be baptized. The eunuch understood there had to be enough water to go under the water. The eunuch didn't say, well, we got some water in the back of the buggy. Can I get splashed or whatever it takes? He says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me? And I like what Philip said. Philip kept it pretty simple. He keeps it kind of down to the road. He said, what did Philip say? And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. And let's see what he's believing now. What's he supposed to be believing? He's not believing in some kind of faith over faith or nothing like that. If thou believest in Jesus, the one he was just reading about in Isaiah. If you believe in the one who died for your sins, if you believe in the one who was crucified, if you believe in the one who was came here meek and lowly riding on a donkey, if you believe in that person who died and took care of your sin burden and rose again on the third day, if that's what you're believing, now let's get on to it here. Something you got to put some stuff in between the lines every now and then here. It says, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. If thou believest with thine heart. Not a head knowledge of who Jesus is. Not a book knowledge of who Jesus is. But the fact that Jesus has got a hold of your heart and has showed you your sinfulness, has showed you your need for salvation, has showed you that He is well able to save you. That says here, if thou believest with all thine heart. You see, because if you don't, you'll turn away. Because if you don't, you haven't believed unto salvation. If you don't believe with all your heart, you're still in a bad spot. But it says, if thou believest that Jesus Christ came as the Son of God, if you believe that He paid your sin debt, if you believe that He rose on that third day, if you believe what we've been reading in Hebrews, that He's sitting at the side of the Father on the right hand, if you believe that He has already taken care of everything that needs to happen, and you put your faith and trust in Him, not carrying your little rabbit's foot or your little cross trinket or something that you pray to every now and then, but in Him and in Him alone, That's him. It says, if thou believest with all thy heart. Then it says, what hinders me? Thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart the things about Jesus, from the heart, because with the heart man maketh confession. With the mouth man talks about Jesus Christ. When you become a believer, all of a sudden you need to start talking about Jesus. You can't help yourself. Some people say, man, that guy needs to shut up. Well, when I got saved, I had to tell everybody I knew. Everybody. Even the ones I knew didn't want to hear it, I told them. Because when you get a Holy Spirit conversion with Jesus Christ, when Jesus saves you and the Holy Spirit moves inside of you and God the Father is over you and you know it, you can't help but tell somebody. It says here, I know that Holy Spirit conversion through some of y'all, right? That just means you got regenerated. I don't want y'all to get sidetracked with that. Regenerated by the renewing of the washing of the Holy Ghost. Then Philip then says, thou may be if thou hast. And he answered and said, I believe. What did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How profound is that? What else do you need to say? What else do you need to do? What hinders me to be baptized? Dost thou believest with all thy heart? Yeah. And then what is he supposed to believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How difficult we try to get this thing sometime. How hard do we have to make it? What are you supposed to believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With all your heart. With all your heart. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here right now. You couldn't have poured me in this place if that hadn't happened. You could not have drugged me through them doors if there had not been a time when Jesus Christ hemmed me up, showed me my sins, turned my heart around, put a new heart in me, and says, you're mine now, buddy. You're mine. You couldn't have brought me through them drawers with a chainsaw. Just, I believe. Do you believe? I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say, when you figure out all the 5 points of Calvinism or grace or whatever you want to call it, when you figure out all of that, when you've learned the 5 books of the Mosaic thing, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then come back and we'll discuss how you need to get to heaven. No, he says, if what do you believe? And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Man, I don't want to make this no harder than it has to be. I don't want to try to say, well, when I see some kind of something in your life, the eunuch didn't say, well, come back in 6 months and we'll discuss what you've been reading and we'll check it all out and then we'll go through a little study class. And now, don't get me wrong, we are supposed to have a study class and we're supposed to do some teaching. But it's not before, it's after. It's after. I can't teach a lost man how to be a Christian. All I do is just wash him up, clean him up. I've got a lost good guy. I'm not wrong with that, but I should rather have a saved good guy or girl, whichever. Says here, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Now, I'm going to go right here with you. When you first get saved, you don't know if you believe with all your heart or not. I mean, not unless you've been around a lot of scripture, but I mean, you know you've been saved. But what I'm saying is, you don't know if you know enough scripture. You don't know if you've done enough things. You don't know if you've done this or that or whatever to do things. So to believe with all your heart doesn't mean that you've got to be all knowledgeable in everything that's going on. To believe in all your heart means you're trusting that Jesus Christ took care of it. You're trusting that Jesus Christ did absolutely everything necessary. And you'll learn more after that. You'll grow more after that. But until you have believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, there's no growth area there except for a head knowledge. We need to get away from the head knowledge and get it to the heart knowledge. I understand that's a God's job. I'm just telling you how he worked. Just telling you how he worked. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. That means that I can't go stand outside this window and do this. I got to go in the water too. I got to get wet too. I don't got to go under the water again, but I do got to go into the water if we're going to do this right. And I know they got some of them baptisms now where the guy can stand outside the tub, the guy's in the tub. That's almost half scriptural. I mean, really. But they've got those. I've even seen a few of them lately where they baptized some children and some men, and the guy stood behind the tub in his perfect little suit with his sleeves rolled up, and he put the guy into the water, or laid the child into the water. The child was definitely baptized scripturally, as far as, but the man didn't go into the water with him. We've got this thing too technical nowadays. For me to stand by the scripture, I got to get in that tub or in the lake or the river, wherever we decide to do this thing. But it says, and went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch. Nobody else here got saved. Nobody else in that whole caravan got saved that we know of. But we do know that Philip and the eunuch went down into this water. And there was enough water to go down into, which is why we got a nice little tub here. And when they were come up out of the water, so there you go again, they had to get in the water to come out of the water. So when they had both come up out of the water, now if y'all waiting for this to happen to me later, if I end up over at the burgers before y'all get there, you know what happened. But it says, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. So Cody, if you see me fly up out of the water when I come out and you don't see me no more the rest of the day, don't worry about it. It's okay. Because it's biblical. But it says, as soon as that operation, as soon as the very one that God had sent to save was baptized and made a member of the church, made a member of Christianity, made a member in the body, as soon as that had taken place to fulfill God's plan, there was no more need for a preacher. This man now had the Spirit of God in him. This man now was a baptized believer. This man now was able to talk about the Word of God. Now, I guarantee you, he had a different way of reading Isaiah from there on and any other book that he read, because now he was being guided by the Holy Spirit. So as soon as you got saved, and I'm not saying you don't need to learn, but he already had the Scriptures. Now he had the Holy Spirit inside of him. As soon as he was done what was supposed to be done, getting saved, getting baptized, there was no more need for the preacher. I'm not trying to say we don't need the preachers in the church. What I'm trying to say is the job that needed to be done on that spot at that day was accomplished. God's will was accomplished. He did exactly what was supposed to take place. I don't see myself flying away. So y'all stuck with me for a while. Well, maybe not. Let's see. And the eunuchs saw him no more, and they went their way rejoicing. Rejoicing, why? Because now he knew he was in the family of God. Now he knew he was a believer. Now he knew he was baptized. He had done everything he needed to do. Well, he didn't do everything. God had done everything he needed to do, but he was involved in the doing of it. Everything that needed to do to get the eunuch to the right place of being a believer and baptized and a church member took place right there. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip continued to preach. He didn't hang around with the eunuch till he got back home. But Philip miraculously disappeared. But as soon as he appeared again, he was preaching Jesus. Jesus. I'm just kind of hard-headed about this thing, but I have come to understand that Jesus paid for all my sin. Without Jesus doing that, I'm still in hopeless condition. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're talking about sanctification and Sunday school and stuff like that, and I should try to do better. We all should try to do better. We should all strive to be as sinless as we can be. But I will never count on what I do to get better as any in way to get into heaven. Nothing that I do adds to anything that Christ has already done. I can't add to His work. Now, I can live a better life. I can live a more holy life. I should. We all should. I can live more sanctified. But as soon as I get proud of my sanctification, I'm going to fall. Just as soon as I think I'm holier than all anybody else, I'm going to fall. And generally the fall of that kind of thing is a whole lot bad. It ain't good. But I'm saying here, while each and every one of us should do better, there's only one that did it all. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. If He has touched you, that you've been touched, been born again, been born into the family of God by the Spirit of God, then this morning, real soon, you ought to let us know. And if He saved you, then we need to know about it so you can ask to be a member of the church so we can baptize you into the fellowship of the church. And then we'll vote on you to be a member of the church. And then we'll give you a job like building a barn or something so we can keep on going. So, if God has so touched you, whoever you are, anybody, come let us know what God has done for you. And we'll be glad to bring you into the church. The tub's full. We can do 20 people right now. I'm serious. And once I get wet, I can stay wet all day. So I'm not just talking about Cody when he comes, but if anybody else needs to come, come on. We'll get you done right here.